Unlocking the financial genius within you. That's what today's subject is about here on day 17 of Personal Power. I want to talk to you today about what I think it really takes to become wealthy in financial terms. Specifically, we're going to talk about today how to condition yourself for wealth. Because I'm going to make a statement right now that may sound like an oversimplification to you, but I have to tell you that it's true in my experience. And my experience is how to shift myself and other people's finances from struggling to absolute total abundance. And that statement is this: if you do not have enough money in your life, there is one and only one primary reason. You have not conditioned yourself for wealth. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that in these two tapes, today and tomorrow combined. Let's start with a little understanding about money. First of all, when you talk about money, have you ever noticed what an emotionally charged issue it is for people? I mean, people usually go one extreme or the other. Either it's like real positive for them and they get real excited, or they say, yeah, I want to be able to make some money. I want to make things happen in that area. Or you see the direct opposite extreme, where people literally have contempt for it, as if it was something evil or suspect, something that you should avoid at almost all costs. And that usually shows up, obviously, in their lack of economic well-being. Why is it such an emotional issue for us? Well, we could spend several days just analyzing all the associations that have been attached to money throughout the years, both in religious terms as well as in business terms, all the experiences that we've had. But the truth is, money is nothing but a representation, a means to measure the exchange of value between people. So one of the questions that I've asked myself is, why do so many people fail to achieve financial abundance in a country where financial opportunity surrounds us literally at every moment? It beckons to us. And yet most of us never do that. We never create the financial abundance we deserve to have. So I ask the question, why not? Why don't people succeed financially? Out of that question, I started getting some answers on my own, but I also started getting answers by going out and modeling some of the most successful people in the world financially. People that are in the $100 million to $1 billion class. I figured, hey, if I'm going to get some answers, these people can tell me. And I looked for people specifically in that area who have made it financially on their own. People have started with little or nothing, ideally. And by the way, there are many more than you realize. We live in a country where people can generate net worths of $100 to $500 million starting with a little idea for a computer in their garage. Or where somebody can go to IBM as a young kid and become a billionaire by his mid-30s, an example of Bill Gates. So there are lots of role models of unbelievable possibility. And you may say, well, that's not my goal. I can appreciate that. But these people certainly know how to create and build wealth, and more importantly, maintain it. You know, years ago, there was a book written called Think and Grow Rich, and I'm sure you've heard of it. You've probably read it as well. It's one of those very first books that I read when I first started reading personal development material. And you know, the book was based on the research done back in the early 1900s when Andrew Carnegie asked Napoleon Hill to actually make a study of what it takes to build wealth. And my own work in this area could be called Think and Grow Rich Today, because that is, in today's society, with today's distinctions and today's technology, what is today's approach to building wealth? What really makes the difference financially today? And what I found is there are certain distinctions that have not changed, because the building of wealth is fundamental. And so a big part of my research has been, what is the mindset of wealth? What does it allow certain people to not only expect it, but find a way? What I've found is that most people, even when they learn how to do things, if you don't handle what we're going to do in these next two sessions, they usually sabotage it. Because most people have what I call wealth wounds. And what I want to give you is a small preview here of at least some of those basic fundamentals right here in this program, so that you can begin to use those right away. So the obvious question is, what is the number one reason why most people fail financially? And the answer is so simple that it eludes most of us. It's because we associate negative things to having excess money. In fact, the word excess by itself for most people is a negative. So I wonder why we don't ever have it. The very thing I talked to you about here earlier in this program, the thing that runs our whole life, is two things. What are they? Anything we associate pain to, we're going to avoid, especially if it's major pain. And anything we associate pleasure to, we're going to move towards. Now, you may again say, well, Tony, what are you talking about? Of course I associate pleasure to making money. Because if I had money, then I could really have more time to be with my family. I wouldn't have to work at certain things. Or if I had money, I could give certain things that are really important to me. Or I could support a specific charity I believe in. Or you know what? I could travel. Or I could just do whatever I wanted as quick as I wanted. or I could have the ultimate wardrobe or jewelry, or I could have favorite cars or homes whenever I wanted them. Or I could learn to fly or master any skill or hire the best teachers, the best coaches. Of course I want money. If you don't have it, you're right, you do want it, but not bad enough. Because while you want it, you have an approach avoidance. You also simultaneously have all the negative associations. And we alluded to these earlier. I don't know if you remember them, but I want to remind you, repetition being the mother of skill. What are some of the negative associations that people sometimes link in their subconscious mind to money that keep them from literally attracting it? Or they start to attract it, and then their brain gets scared and says, oh my God, this might lead to pain, and then sabotages it. Well, some of them are things like, in order to make it, I'm going to have to work so hard, I'll have no time to enjoy it. So why even try? Or, gosh, by the time I earn a lot of money, I'll be old and gray anyway, so why even go after it? Or, to make money, you got to be really smart, and I'm not smart enough. Or, to make money, you have to take advantage of other people, and I could never do that. Or something like, well, gosh, you know, if I made money, I wouldn't have any time to be with my family. Or if I made a lot of money, people will start judging me. Or if I make a lot of money, well, then I'll just have to pay more taxes. And then the IRS will be after me. And then what will happen? People usually worry about these things, and people have no money at all to start with. They knock themselves out of the game before they even get to bat. Or if I make a lot of money, I probably won't be as spiritual. I mean, I'll get sucked in. And of course, I remember reading the Bible. It said, you know, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than the rich man to get into heaven. And gosh, you know, it's hard for camels to get through needles. Classic misinterpretations like that cause people to live in experiences of lack. And I don't know of any place in the world where when people feel like they're living in lack, where they feel like they don't have enough, where that encourages the highest level of the human spirit to come out on a consistent basis. Now, I might be wrong about that, but I got to tell you, wherever I see lack, I see crime in mass. Wherever I see lack, I see people trying to escape with drugs. Wherever I see lack, I see people taking advantage of other people and making it okay, justifying it by, well, I had to survive. I don't think lack brings out the best in the human spirit. I think when we have abundance, what happens is we stop focusing on ourselves and how we're going to survive, and we have enough to start focusing on who we really are, which are human beings or spirits that are here to contribute. And I think when you're in a position of trying to survive, your focus is on you. When you've learned to handle that message, when you really know you've got your act together and you don't have to worry anymore, it's much easier for people to look at how can I contribute to my fellow man. Now, I'm not saying that you can't come from a position of lack and be a contributor. Obviously, you and I can name name after name of people who've been able to do this and are role models of possibility, even though they grew up with nothing financially and never had anything. So I'm not saying money's the only answer. I'm just saying in this culture, in this time, if you had a choice between having it or not having it, why not go for it and have it too? Why not use your money as a powerful tool for positive influence in the people's lives you care about as well as your own, and enjoy having it? Get off the guilt trips that have stopped you in the past. It is that sense of guilt that if you have more money than somebody else, or what if you made more money than your father? Oh my gosh, God, what a wound that would be. It's that kind of thing, those negative associations that are keeping you from having what you want. So if you do not have all the money you want in your life, you associate more pain to having more money than you have now than not having it. It's that simple. Now, with the technology that we've learned, you can condition yourself to change those feelings and those beliefs. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the next tape. But I want you to know that is the number one reason that most people don't succeed financially, according to people that are most successful in the world at obtaining, maintaining, and building wealth. Here's the second wealth wound. And by the way, I picked those words very specifically. I want you to get a clear picture that if you don't master and handle the seven things I'm about to talk about, then every single day you're probably experiencing a financial bloodletting. What's happening is you are experiencing the pain on an ongoing basis of wounds, things that are literally dripping out of you, your own financial well-being. And there's no excuse for it. You can handle it easily and quickly. Here's the second one. The second reason these people say, and have told me thus far, that people do not succeed financially is not only do they have negative associations to money, but even if they have okay associations, they never make having an abundance of money an absolute must. Interesting distinction. I'm not saying love money and make it your God, because that's the way to absolutely be certain that you fail in life, that you destroy everything that's valuable. But what I am saying is make it a priority so you get it handled. And make the priority not just getting by, make the priority massive abundance and come up with a specific figure you hold yourself to. I'll give an example. People who consistently stay at a specific weight, who are once fat but really stay thin and they don't really vary a whole lot. In modeling these people, I found that they have certain things in common. You know, I do a whole health seminar called my Living Health Seminar. But just to give you an idea or a distinction, the one thing that they all have in common is they have decided upon an ideal weight, a weight that they must be at. And they have a specific amount they can vary, and it's usually small. Let's say 2 or 3 or 4 pounds, maximum. If, for example, they say, I'm going to weigh 235 pounds, and all of a sudden they creep up and they see they're at 238 pounds, instantly they do whatever it takes to get back to 235, because 235 for them is a must. Do you follow me? The same thing has to be true for you financially. You've got to have a certain level of finances that you must be at. And if you ever vary, you've got to do something about it immediately. Otherwise, you get caught up in what we call Niagara's current, right? Where day to day, you just get caught up in making a living and doing things and putting things off, and it doesn't happen. So the only way you're going to succeed financially is when you decide on a specific amount of money that you must have in your life. And it must be well beyond what your absolute needs are. So in other words, what I'm asking you to do is take something that seems right now to be an accessory, money, and make it a necessity. Find an amount of money that would be considered abundant and make that not only abundant, but a necessity in your life. You follow me? That's critical if you're going to have long-term wealth financially. And if you don't do this, there's no way you'll be able to have the amount of money I know you'd like to have in your life. The third major wealth wound that drains most people dry financially, in fact, keeps them from ever developing a great deal of wealth in the first place, is suffering from the problem or falling into the trap of never ever developing an effective strategy on how to build wealth in the first place. I mean, listen, if all it took to succeed financially was for you to associate lots of pleasure to having money, pain to not having it, in other words, you really made it a must and that was it, then we'd all have it. But see, that isn't enough. If that's all it took in life to succeed was absolute passion for something, then every kid would have had a pony when he was growing up. That's not quite enough. You got to have an effective strategy. Hey, if you're running east looking for a sunset, you got a problem. I don't care how enthusiastic you are. So you've got to develop strategies on how to, one, attract money into your life in the first place. How are you going to create that initial income? Two, how to manage that money so that you can invest it and get money to be your slave instead of you being the slave to money. In other words, get your money to make you more money. So it's not taking more of your time and physical effort, but where you literally begin to leverage yourself. And then three, strategies on how to share money. So it gives you a tremendous amount of joy. Because to me, that's a strategy that's critical also. Otherwise, why are you going to keep getting it? Your brain has got to link pleasure to it or it won't continue to work for it. And if you can learn to share it with people, I've found that yes, giving yourself things is fabulous and you should do that. But if you can also share that, it'll give you even more joy. It'll give you all those pleasurable feelings you've really wanted. Those are three strategies that are critical.